All right, if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, I would invite your attention this morning to 1 Corinthians and chapter number 16. The good Lord willing, next Sunday, we will finish our series in 1 Corinthians. Now, following that, I intend to preach through the little book of Philemon. Now, it's only one chapter, but I don't know how long it'll take us to get through it. But if you would like to, you could go ahead and begin reading that little book and refamiliarizing yourself with the book of Philemon. But we began just 2 years ago, and that seems like a long time ago now, but we began a series preaching through the book of 1 Corinthians. We entitled this study, Discipline for an Undisciplined Church. We are now nearing the very end of the book, and we're getting to that part where it is closing words, closing salutations, and closing goodbyes. But this morning, I want us to take particular notice of verses 15 through 18 in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, where God's word says this, "I beseech you, brethren, ye know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad at the coming of Stephanas, and Fortunatus, and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such." I have entitled the message this morning, A Family Addiction. Now, when you look at the title of this message, you may be a little bit perplexed. In fact, if you are not familiar with the King James use of the word addicted, you may be quite confused altogether. But so that we are all on the same page and understand the direction of today's message, let me make clear what is meant by the word addiction, a family addiction. Now, we're going to spend a few minutes on this, developing this, and hopefully by the end of the opening of this, you will understand why I find it imperative that we all get on the same page here. In this passage, we read of a family that had addicted themselves to the ministry. Do you see that there? At the close of verse number 15, the household of Stephanas had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That is, or in other words, they had devoted themselves to the ministry, or that they were avidly obsessed with serving the saints. The King James translator's use of the word addicted here was perfectly suited for the 16th and 17th century vernacular. However, words sometimes change their meaning over time. That's just a fact. Now, there was a time when cool meant almost cold. Now, cool can mean a temperature, or it can mean how hip something is. And in fact, the word hip is probably antiquated itself, but it's the best I could do given the time. Perhaps a more relevant example of this, of how words change their meaning, is the word gay. For centuries, the word gay meant happy, full of joy, or merry. However, that is no longer the current use of the word. If someone said about you that you were gay, happy is not what would come to someone's mind. Sometimes words change meaning over time, and in like manner, the word addicted has changed in its primary use in common English vernacular. Now the word addict or addicted carries with it a very negative connotation. When we think of an addiction or someone being addicted, it is not in a positive light. We instead look at it as a negative or a bad thing. Many of us have now or in the past, we have struggled with different forms of addiction, and we never think of that as a good thing. However, if you have an old dictionary, or even in some of the secondary uses of dictionaries, you will find that the word addicted simply means to be devoted to. And in fact, if you study the etymology of the word, I found a 16th century definition. And let me read this to you, that the word addicted meant, as the 16th century, to devote or give up oneself to a habit or occupation. My Webster's 1828 dictionary defines the word addicted like this: to apply one's self habitually, to devote time and attention by customary or constant practice, sometimes in a good sense. So even by the beginning of the 19th century, there was a transition of how that word addicted was being used. And while the word has over the years taken on a negative implication, yet understanding the common usage of the word centuries ago reveals that the statement that is made about this household of Stephanus, that this is not a negative criticism of them. In fact, it is high praise of them. The passage that we will study together, we learn about a family, a household who had an addiction. Yeah, but it was a good addiction. It was an addiction to the ministry of the saints. The household of Stephanus had addicted themselves, that is, they had devoted themselves or applied themselves habitually to something. But who is this family? And what is it specifically that they have addicted themselves to? And furthermore, how should we treat people with this kind of addiction? And so today I would like to consider three thoughts from this text. First, the commendation of this family. And secondly, the command for how to treat this family and such like them. And third, the companionship of Christian encouragers. First, notice with me the commendation of this family. Verse 15, Paul says, I beseech you, I implore you, you know, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus. That is, that they were the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry. Now, we know very little about this man by the name Stephanus. We know even less about his household. We don't know whether his wife was alive or not. We don't know how many children they may have had. We don't know, at that time, household would also include the servants, if he had servants. We don't know how many of them they may have had. Nor do we know exactly what his role was in the Corinthian church. But although there is little that we know about him, it is clear that the Corinthians knew the household of Stephanus very well. If you read the language here, Paul is saying, you know who I'm talking about. You know, you are well acquainted with the household of Stephanus. They're not strangers to you. You know them well. And in fact, what we learn is that they are some of the very first ones who came to faith in Jesus Christ in this area as Paul was preaching. Now, they had been around a long time, the household of Stephanus. And in fact, if you went all the way back to chapter 1 and verse 16, you would learn that the Apostle Paul himself had baptized the household of Stephanas. Chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you except just a very few. And one of the few that he mentions is the household of Stephanas. So they were saved. They were the first fruits. They were some of the very first people that were saved in that area when Paul came to preach. And then Paul baptized him. So they've been around a long time. They were there before the church was there. When the church was organized, they were there. They'd been baptized by the Apostle Paul. But what is it that this family or this household has done? And the answer, as wonderfully written as it is that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And I want that to soak in this morning. I want you to give that serious and solemn reflection today. These words of commendation for this family, that they had addicted themselves, devoted themselves, were avidly obsessed with the ministry of the saints. And if you want to know why it takes me a little while to preach through books, this verse right here is one reason why. Because this family, now just stop. This family that had been around a while, that was saved very early on, that were there when the church began, who were well known to the Corinthian church members, this family has fully devoted themselves, addicted themselves to serving God's people. And etched forever. Man, if you would think on this, etched forever in God's eternal word is this high commendation of this family. Here is high praise from a family that lived centuries ago that we know nothing about, but engraved forever in God's word is a commendation of these people. That they had given themselves over fully to serving God's saints. Man, that's rich. This family, this household, had applied themselves. Let's use that definition again. They had applied themselves habitually to ministering to God's people. This family had devoted time and attention by customary and constant practice to serving the saints. Now, we began this message by trying to understand the use of the word addicted. In most modern translations, the word addicted is not used any longer, but the word reads devoted, or that the household of Stephanas has devoted themselves to the ministry. However, that word is not even strong enough. Now, those who do translating, whether Bible translating or any other type of translation work, they will tell you that often a single word translated in one language cannot convey the full meaning or depth of that word in its original language. And such is the case here. Whether it is addicted, if it understood rightly, suits very fine. But the word devoted only gives us a partial view. And this is one of those cases where it is so helpful. And in fact, it is rich to find out how this word was also translated in other New Testament passages. And I hope you're paying attention because this will bless your heart. The Greek word tasso is used 8 times in the New Testament. That what is translated as addicted here, the Greek word tasso is used 8 times in the New Testament. It is translated as ordained, set, or appointed. In fact, it's the same word that is used in Acts 13, verse 48. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And so if we use that same translation method and we were to insert it into our text and to think on that, look what it would read in verse 15. You know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have ordained themselves to the ministry of the saints. They have set themselves to the ministry of the saints. They have appointed themselves to the ministry of the saints. Can I tell you why it matters? Not only were they addicted to the ministry, listen, they addicted themselves. Not only had they devoted them, not only were they had devoted themselves. In other words, this was not something that was chosen for them. This was something they chose. They appointed themselves, ordained themselves, set themselves as ministers to God's people. This was not something incidental that happened over time, but this was a deliberate choice of action. The household of Stephanas said, we are going to serve God's saints. We are going to minister to God's children. It was a self-made appointment, something that they chose to do. And it is so noteworthy that God, in His inspired Word, had it recorded for all people of all time to understand that this people, this family, this household had committed themselves to serving God's children. Ooh, now that may not ring your bell, but it rings mine. That's high praise from the high and mighty God that these people are willing to get low and serve God's people. This was an intentionality on their part. They set themselves, they appointed themselves, they addicted themselves to the ministry. Listen to this, you get it? No one forced them to serve the saints. They chose that. No one coerced them into being a minister. They appointed themselves to that place. Nobody had to twist their arm, press their buttons, or get down on their knees and beg them. They decided on their own, we are going to serve God's people. Amen. Now that's a lot in a word, but I tell you, that's why words matter. They had made the conscious decision that as God gives us the opportunity, we are going to serve God's people. We're going to do what we can do to encourage and edify the saints. They set themselves as servants. They appointed themselves as minister. That word minister right there just means as the idea of serving. That's what it is. The Greek word diakonos, or where we get our English word deacon from. That's where serving. That's what it is, serving. Did this family build some grand cathedral? No. Did they construct some elegant temple? No. Did they donate millions of dollars? No, probably not. But let me tell you what this family did do. They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They humbled themselves and became servants to God's servants. Paul commends this family for their loving, sacrificial service to God's saints. Do you want to know what the household of Stephanas, you want to know what they did? They just followed in the footsteps of Jesus. That's what they did. They ordained, appointed themselves as servants to God's saints. And do you know that's just exactly what Jesus did? Set Himself as a servant to God's people. I want you to turn over and read this with me. I know you're probably familiar with it, but look at the book of Philippians in chapter number 2. Turn over towards the close of your Bible to the book of Philippians in chapter number 2. Listen to what Paul here will write, what he's going to tell the church at Philippi. Philippians 2 verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ." You want to know what that is? Back up and look forward to the verses on either side of verse 5. Now he's going to dictate in particular, verse 6, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant." Do you see it there? "And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now listen, verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you," this mindset, this way of thinking. "Let this mindset be in you, which was also in Christ." Well, what was it? He humbled himself, became obedient, and took upon him the form of a servant. The household of Stephanas was simply following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus condescended from heaven and came down to this earth, born of the Virgin Mary. And listen, he was not born. It would be one thing if Jesus had came from the glories of heaven to this earth and he would have been anointed as king of the world. That still would have been condescension, he coming from heaven down to this earth. But he didn't come down here to be the king of the world, not at that time. He came instead to be the suffering Savior, born into poverty and obscurity, and lived his life as a servant, as a minister to others. He himself said, "I did not come to be ministered to, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many." He lovingly lived his life in service to God's saints, so much so that he did for them what they could not do for themselves. Dying for our sins, going to Calvary and bearing the burden of our sins. And as we sang, "Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever." That is what Jesus did. And you want to know what the household of Stephanas did? They just followed in the footsteps of Jesus Christ by addicting themselves, devoting themselves to the ministry of the saints. Jesus Christ got down, the divine creator, the omnipotent sovereign of the universe, got down on his hands and knees and washed the disciples' feet. As they are bickering among themselves who should be the greatest, Jesus says, "Let me tell you who will be great in my kingdom. Not those who elevate themselves, but those who humble themselves." And he set an example by getting down and doing the most menial task that could be done, washing the dirt off of their prideful, arrogant feet. I don't know if you have prideful feet, but there it is. They had prideful hearts. And he washed the dirt off of their feet. Here you have etched in the eternal, unchanging Word of God is the commendation of this family. They bowed down. They washed the disciples' feet. They served the saints. But friends, Paul doesn't just mention this so the Corinthians would take note. He mentioned it so they would follow suit. And Paul didn't just mention this so that we would take note. He mentioned it so we would follow suit. Galatians 5 verse 13 says, "By love, serve one another." So what about you? You say, well, that's them. That's Stephanus. That's his family. That's his business. Well, what about you? Are you addicted to the ministry? Is your family addicted to the ministry of the saints? Listen to me. Being a servant does not require special ability. It only requires availability. That's your tweet-worthy moment. Being a servant, you don't have to have special ability to be a servant. You just got to make yourself available to people. Many people sit around church wondering, what can I do? What can I do? How can I help? Well, here it is, be a servant. Be a servant to God's saints. Do like the household of Stephanus and addict yourselves. Appoint yourself. Choose me and my house. We're going to serve God's saints. That's what we're going to do. I may not be able to build a grand cathedral. I may not be able to donate millions of dollars, but I tell you what I can do. I can get on my hands and knees and I can serve God's saints. I can serve God's people. I can make sure they have what they need. Is your household like the household of Stephanus? You say, well, that all preaches pretty good, but how about this? Visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. You want to know how to serve God's saints? Just go. Go attend to the needs of the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. That's James chapter 1. Make a phone call. Go visit someone. Send a card. Give some money. Bring a hot meal. Do something to serve God's saints. And when we do that, all we're doing is following in the footsteps of Jesus. We're just shedding abroad the love of God that is in our hearts by loving on one another and serving one another. Galatians 5:13, by love serve one another. No, you may not be able to run marathons, you may not be able to do great and big mighty things, but you can minister to God's people. Every one of you. God took note of this family in Corinth, who had not done, in this world's eyes, they had not done anything of any real great value. But it was great value in God's eyes. And it was a tremendous blessing to those who were being ministered to those who were being served forever. And I like this, I said it, but I'm going to say it again. Forever etched on the pages of God's Word is the commendation of the household of Stephanus. They have addicted themselves to the ministry. This was the commendation of this family. But how should we respond to these types of people? How should we treat them? The answer then is to command, the command to obey that is given to us in verse 16. Notice what this is. That ye submit yourselves unto such. In fact, if you're interested, that word such is used two times in our verses 15 through 18. It's important. Submit yourselves unto such and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. So the command, you want to know how to respond to those who are serving the saints? You ready? You submit to the servants. Wait a minute, that's kind of backwards. That's not the way the world works. Why? Listen, God's kingdom is not of this world. And the way things function in His kingdom is often very countercultural. In God's kingdom, you submit to the servants. And now what the text says, submit unto such. Unto who? Unto those like the household of Stephanas, or those in verse 16 that help with us, those who labor with us. That word labor means toil to the point of exhaustion. Those who are busy serving others, they're the ones you submit to. You submit to the household of Stephanas. Now it's possible, and I'll just give you this as some food for thought. It is possible that Stephanas was an elder in the church at Corinth. I don't know that. It is speculative. I base that on the fact that he's been around a long time, on the fact that he is serving God's saints, on the fact that he is that the members there at Corinth, they are told to submit to him. And Hebrews 13 uses the same language, to submit to those that have the rule over you. And more than that, in particular, to a church that is in disorder, to bring order, you got to submit to God-ordained leadership. Now, I don't know that. It's just a possibility. He could have not been, just as much could have not been that. But the point that I want to try to make is that it just simply doesn't matter how much somebody talks. Let me see if I can get this out here. It doesn't matter how good somebody looks. Really doesn't matter that much how sound that they sound, how biblical they sound. You want to know what really matters? Is are they actually serving God's saints? That's easy to talk the talk and not walk the walk. And Paul is saying, you submit to those that are actually walking the walk, to those that are serving God's saints. In other words, folks, it's easy. Listen, it is easy to be impressed by the flashy, flamboyant speaker. They had that problem in Corinth, remember? They were divided in factions and cliques. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. You had people in the church who were trying to have the preeminence among them. You had people who were trying to elevate themselves. And Paul says, you want to know who to submit to? Not the flashy, not the flamboyant, not somebody that talks a good game. Let me tell you who to get behind and who to support. You get behind, you support, you submit to the one that's down there on their hands and knees doing the work. That's who you submit to. Not just to somebody that sounds good, looks good, rolls into town with a flashy car and got a nice suit and got a sermon he's preached 25 times and everybody loves it. No, no. You submit to the ones that are addicted to the ministry. Those who are serious about serving God by serving His people. It is easy to be impressed by the charismatic, the charmer, the smooth-tongued speaker. And even in a church, somebody has a flamboyant personality, very likable, very charming. It's easy for people to rally behind that person. But I'm not interested in what they look like. I'm not interested in the game that they talk. Show me what you're doing to serve the saints. You get down on your hands and knees like Jesus and start washing the disciples' feet, then I'll get behind you. I'll submit. And that should be our attitude. That word submit, just for those of you that are keeping up, that word submit that is used at the beginning there of verse 16, same word is used in Ephesians 5 where it says, you know, all of us husbands like this, wives, submit to your own husbands. You might back up and notice that it says that we're to submit to one another, by the way. Same word is used. Listen, as backward as it may seem, the command is that we are to submit. That is, listen, we are to willingly place ourselves under the authority of those who serve God's people. In whatever capacity that may be. Now that is as backwards may seem in our world, but remember, God's kingdom is different than the kingdoms of this world. In this world, the rich and the powerful rule. But in Jesus' kingdom, it is the servant leaders. The servant leaders who are to be followed. I quoted part of this earlier, but I want to turn back and read it in its totality. If you'll look back to the book of Matthew for me in chapter number 20. Sometimes when you're preaching, you get ahead of yourself because it's something you want to say so bad. But in Matthew chapter number 20, you know, it's easy to bully and bowl over those that are down on their hands and knees. That's easy to do. It's easy to push servants around. But Jesus says, let me tell you how I want my kingdom to be conducted. In my kingdom, these are the people you need to submit to, not push around, not bowl over. Those who are serving in His kingdom. And you make much of yourself and God will make little of you. But if you make little of yourself, God will make much of you. Look what He says here in Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. Yeah, this is just right after this. The sons of thunder. Mama's doing what mamas do. James and John. And mama comes to Jesus and said, I want one boy at your right hand and one at your left hand. Trying to elevate them. And let me tell you how Jesus responds. Verse 25. But Jesus called unto them and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Now listen, this is contrary to our nature. You got to get this. We all like to be served. I don't know if anybody in the building that likes it more than I do. We all like to be served. But it should be a delight for us, like the household of Stephanas, to serve God's saints, to addict ourselves to the ministry of the saints. Do you want to? I'm serious. Do you want to be great in God's kingdom? Become least. You want God to speak well of you one day? Become a servant. We read there in Philippians chapter 2, and I'm not going to go back to it, but because Jesus bowed so low, God is going to raise Him high. You keep reading there where we stopped, and it's going to say, because He bowed so low, because He came so low, therefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Christ is Lord. This is so very contrary to our nature and it's contrary to our culture. This is not just a first century issue. Still today, it is the princes and the charming and the rich who want to be in authority, but that's not how it is in Christ's kingdom. It is countercultural. Those who are great in Christ's kingdom are those who become least. You want to be something in the eyes of God, make nothing of yourself. Live, serve, die, and be forgotten. I guarantee Joel Osteen won't say that today. Live, serve Jesus, die, and be forgotten. And the only thing that matters is what you did to serve Jesus. It's countercultural. It's counter to our flesh. Paul says, don't submit to the big, flashy, flamboyant. Let me tell you, submit to those that are down there doing the work. Those persons who have addicted themselves to the ministry. They're the ones that you should submit to. You know why? You want to know why? Because here it is. Because they, the servants, those who have addicted themselves to the ministry, they're the ones that are going to edify the church. Do you get that? They're the ones that are going to mature, grow, sanctify, bless the church. Those who are serving the church, not serving self. So we have the commendation of this family. We have the command of how to treat such. How do we treat those who are like this? But then thirdly, we are introduced to some other folks from Corinth. So notice with me the companionship of Christian encouragers from verses 17 and 18. Where Paul says, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they've supplied. Notice what it says. Just a few words. I love it in the Bible. Where you're only introduced to somebody very briefly, but what is there is good. It's a whole lot better than what's there is bad. Right? And we know very, very little about Stephanas. We know even less about these other two gentlemen. Fortunatus and Achaicus. We don't know anything about them. Don't know anything about them. Don't know who they are. Were they fellow elders in the church? Were they part of the household of Stephanas? We don't know. But I tell you what they were. They were companions and Christian encouragers. That's what they were. Paul says, Can I just say it like this? I was drained. Remember, he's writing this from Ephesus while, you go back earlier in this chapter, while he's doing battle. He is in spiritual warfare. And it's as if he says, I was drained, I was tired, I was empty. But then these companions came. Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. They came and they encouraged me. They refreshed me. In fact, the language is used, they brought rest to my soul. I'm going to tell you something. I am eternally grateful for Christian companions who are also encouragers. Those who will bless you along the way. In fact, let me say this. My dad always said everybody's a blessing. Some are a blessing when they're coming and others are a blessing when they're going. But if you'll notice in verse 17, Paul says, I'm glad at the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. They were a blessing when they came to see Paul. This is a very real, very practical, simple explanation. Paul's just saying, I needed some encouragement and God sent some companions to be a blessing to me. And listen, you may not be able to do great things. I'm serious. You may not be able to donate $1 million. You may not be able to go out here and build a new church building. But I tell you what you can do. You can be a companion and an encourager. You can refresh the saints. You can be a source of rest and blessing to those who are running on E. Anybody in here ever run on E? Spent, tired, drained, empty? Just ready to throw in the towel and be done? Thank God that He has some companions who are encouragers. That God sends some companions who are encouragers that will help us along the journey. And we don't know anything about these two or these three men, really. We don't know anything about it, but we know this. Paul was sure glad they came around. And the truth about it is, if you look at the text here, verse 18 says, not only did they refresh my spirit, they were a blessing to the church and yours. These men were a blessing to Paul and to the church. They were not, they were not a drain on the church. They were a blessing to the church. They didn't show up and say, "What's the church going to do for me?" They showed up and said, "What can I do to help the church?" You want me to preach right there? I don't think you do. Because that's where we all are. What are they going to do for it? What am I going to get out of it? These people, they showed up and said, "What can I do for them?" That's the kind of men and women we need today. Is that countercultural? Absolutely. We got a consumeristic Christianity out there. If you don't provide the product I want, I'll go somewhere else and get what I like. But that's not Stephanus, Fortunatus, or Achaicus. And in fact, those people, if you find them mentioned in the Bible, there won't be a positive thing. So there'll be something negative said about them. They were resting, or they brought rest and relief to the Apostle Paul. Have you ever needed encouragement? The answer, of course, is yes. But now here's the other question. Have you ever given encouragement? There are folks right now in our church who need encouragement. Reach out. Be addicted to the ministry. Serve the saints. Be a companion. Be an encourager. You don't have to have special ability. You just have to have availability. Only heaven will reveal the countless kindnesses that have been shown to God's children by fellow saints. How are these to be treated again? The close of verse 18. "Acknowledge ye them that are such." There's that word "such" again. I told you it mattered. You acknowledge. That is, you recognize those. Recognize those who refresh the saints. And that doesn't mean you build a platform and you put them up on top of it and you bow down. It means you show homage or respect to them. You say, you give the right kind of honor to them, because you know these are the people who are serving God's saints, and they're worthy of respect for that. Now, I don't know exactly what they did. As it says in verse 17, Paul says what was lacking on the Corinthians' part, they brought, whether it's material, emotional, financial, whatever that it was, they brought a gift to the Apostle Paul, and it was a blessing. We don't know exactly what they did, but here it is. God knew exactly what they did. I don't know. It would be purely a guess what they brought to the Apostle Paul, whether it was a material gift, whether it was just whether them being there, we don't know exactly what they brought to him that refreshed his spirit, but God knows. God knew exactly what they had done. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to try to just be honest. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if your name was right there on the page beside the household of Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus? Wouldn't that be nice? I mean, be honest. When God mentions somebody and He brags on them, it'd be kind of nice to have my name there too. It may sound vain, and perhaps it is, but it would sure be something if the Bible said, "Now you all know the household of," and you put your name in the blank, that they've addicted themselves to men. If that was in the Bible, man, we'd all walk around here with our chest poked out. My name's in the Bible. Well, your name's not ever going to be etched in the Bible. I mean, it's not. That's not the book closed. But I can tell you something. God is still keeping records. God is still keeping records of what's being done. And there is a book being kept right now of what is done in service to Him and to His children. You're never going to open up the Bible and find your name there. It's not going to say Stephanus, Fortunatus, Achaicus, and John Smith, and Mary, Martha, and Joseph. You're not going to find all that, but I tell you what, God is keeping record of what you're doing. And God will reward those who have addicted themselves to the ministry. Hebrews 6, verse 10 says that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. May I ask you this to ponder? And I'm closing. But on the day of judgment, when the household of Stephanus is called upon, I think they're going to have some crowns given, don't you? What about Fortunatus and Achaicus? And while we know almost nothing about these people, God will bless and reward them for addicting themselves to the ministry and for refreshing the church in the Apostle Paul. So the question then is this: do you want to be rewarded at that great judgment day? Then become like the household of Stephanus and addict yourselves to the ministry. Let me close by saying this. In our world, people with an addiction need help. They need counseling. They need victory. However, in the spiritual world, those people with this kind of addiction, they don't need help. They are the help. This kind of addict is not to be pitied, but to be honored. Those who addict themselves to the ministry are God's healers, God's ministers, God's encouragers. In the closing words of this book, we are briefly introduced to some men and women, probably even children, who were vitally important to the health of Christ's kingdom. Now we need men and women and boys and girls who, like the household of Stephanus, will addict themselves to the ministry. Maybe you can't be an elder, song leader, a musician, but you can be an encourager. You can be a companion. Maybe you can't donate millions, but you can serve the saints. May God make our homes like that of the household of Stephanus, a family addiction.